It's the holiday bumper.
Well, whoop-dee-doo. Welcome to a rebroadcast edition of the WHM, was it an on-screen, of the Star Wars holiday special.
It is, and it might as well be an animation damnation.
There's a large cartoon sequence in this. I totally forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. There's also, what is it, Chewbacca's family's hanging out?
Oh, Chewbacca's family, man. That's some of the worst shit you'll see.
Better depiction of Kaish Kook, or whatever yeah. this is called, than in the prequels.
I was going to say, that's speaking true. Of Chewbacca's family, you'll listen to Chris Cabin on this episode.
That's right. Chris Cabin is on this episode. Now, this was a thing.
Distant cousin of Chewbacca.
He is a woodland creature.
This was back when we were putting out stuff, you know, just on the Libsyn app, you know, which we don't do anymore. If you haven't noticed that, we don't do that anymore. And if only because we're gearing up to start a Patreon at some point in 2016. So yeah. That's that. But we wanted everybody to be able to enjoy the Star Wars holiday special conversation.
It's a perfect time to do it. We've got Force Awakens coming out on Friday. It is the holiday season. So, you know, you got to get all this stuff out there. It's a perfect mixture of things.
Right. Although we won't have a Hoth Christmas this year.
Yes.
Because that's the white Christmas of, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Yeah, no, we've got global warming summer Christmas.
Right,
what's happening.
It's a Tatooine Christmas.
Man, WHM presents a Tatooine Christmas? I'd sign on.
Sweating it out in Tunisia, man.
All right, so continue enjoying WHM Star Wars Week. Hashtag WHM Star Wars Week. This is us talking about the holiday special. Steve Sadek has one more announcement.
If you haven't already, you should go and download our, and purchase, by the way, our commentary on Revenge of the Sith, because it's out there. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's the Revenge of the Sith-mentary. It's out now. And at the time of this recording, let me just say, as far as I know, and it will be available other places, but right now, as of this moment, only available on cdbaby.com. But eventually, in the coming weeks, depending upon how long, you know, different websites' delivery systems take, you know, it'll be available wherever digital music is sold. But for right now, cdbaby.com, search We Hate Movies. All our commentaries are there, including our latest one.
It's the best and fairest price you're going to get, first and foremost, right?
that's true.
Yeah.
That's pretty true. So cdbaby.com, WHM commentary, Revenge of the Sithmentary, out now. So you make something so bad and it's so universally reviled that you say on a talk show you wish you could find every copy and set it on fire.
It's the one time I'm agreeing with him. It's the one time I'm in complete agreeance with him. He should pay the money to do it.
Well, shouldn't you have said that again about episode one?
I even forget.
Episode
like,
two.
I mean, that would take a lot of money. Well, no, actually, I mean, he could probably cut that up for cheaper. But to find every like, because there's probably VHS copies. It was probably like handed around at some point, like, you know, bootleg tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this was a big, it's like that Mr. Show sketch, right? Where they do the, it's the service for bootleg videos. And it's like you call a number and then Brian Posehn shows up like, hey, guys. And it's like, when you hear, hey, guys, turn around and your bootleg video delivery boy will be like, this was one of those tapes that was like, hey, guys, I got the Star Wars holiday special.
It kind of reminds, there's that really great documentary, Shut Up, Little Man.
Oh, yeah,
about
yeah.
the tape in San Francisco that went around. It reminds me a little bit of that.
Welcome to WHM On Screen, a special holiday edition, right in time for Christmas and the New Year and all that good stuff. We're chatting about the Star Wars holiday special from 1978, directed by Steve Binder. Sitting here, I'm Andrew Jupin, sitting here with Eric Siska and Chris Cabin.
I got to tell you, I got excited for a second. I thought you were going to introduce Steve Bender to the program.
That would be pretty great. He actually, didn't he direct something kind of big?
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, this is quite a splash.
I mean, his name sounds familiar, but I don't know for sure on that one.
I kind of want to find it because I thought it was something, and I was like, wow, this dude kind of directed a thing, but then he also directed the fucking Star Wars holiday special.
I mean, that happens all the time. You call it the Star Wars holiday special. It really should be the infamous Star Wars holiday special. The word infamous or notorious should be in the title, I feel.
Hey, so he directed something well before this in 1964 called The Tammy Show. If you can ever check this out, it's an amazing, it's like a TV broadcast that they compiled on this DVD. It's all these old musical acts, classic acts, like when they were really young,
just performing
on this show. And it's like the Beach Boys, Chuck Berry's doing a thing, James Brown does an amazing performance. So that guy directed that. And then he directed the infamous Star Wars holiday special. Now, Eric, do you want to try to explain a little bit about what happens in this? Because this it's like a variety show. It's a Star Wars
that's the classic,
Brady Bunch variety show.
It's classic 70s mold. You got to have, you know, you got to have your comedy. You got to have your song and dance and stuff like that. So
your animated interlude.
The premise is basically that Han Solo and Chewbacca are being fought by recycled footage from the first Star Wars movie.
They're being fought. They're being attacked by C-Roll.
Yeah, the Empire is in hot pursuit again and again and again using the same shots. And then they got to get down to Kursk. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it.
There's like seven K's in this name.
There's three Y's in a row, which I just don't know what to do with. And my last name is Siska. So.
Yeah, if you can't figure it out, nobody can.
So they're going.
Probably a name that only like Bjork could sing.
She should really have a song about Life Day and the Wookiee homeworld.
It's probably like Kirschkin.
Yeah, no, you know what it is? It's a fucking Sigur Rós lyric. Yes. Like that's Chewbacca comes from a Sigur Rós song.
Yeah, 20-minute track.
So anyway, so they're trying to get there.
They're trying to get there for Life Day, which is basically the Christmas of Wookiees, where all their family members have to get together and like stay under one roof for a day because Chewbacca doesn't really care about his family. He's just running around the universe. But what's crazy about this movie is it's like introducing Chewbacca's family.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's got a wife, a kid, and his goddamn old man is still living around the house.
His toothless father.
Named Itchy.
Fuck you, George Lucas. Are you kidding me?
And his kid's named Lumpy.
Oh, man.
And I'm pretty sure that Mrs. Chewbacca is just Chewbacca recycled with some like mascara on.
Dude, it's Chewbacca's costume with lipstick on. Yeah. Her name is Mala, by the way.
That I remember. Am I the only one who like always thought, like, of course I'm not the only one because it's fucking obvious, but thought of Chewbacca as a loner?
Yeah.
And he had his tribe back at home, but he probably just like mated with several different other Wookiees.
He's just getting down on Kursh.
Well,
that's what he's doing.
He might have been, you know, I mean, I think this is one theory. Now, I don't know much about Chewbacca, but I think there is some people who say that, like, oh, he was like an imperial slave at one point.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, they're strong, so you're going to use, and obviously a fascist government just resorts to slave labor immediately.
So he's a rebel, like a loner rebel.
Right, exactly. So Chewbacca's kind of like a Jean Valjean sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're
thinking here.
Class it up.
Yeah. I honestly never thought of him coming home to like a roasting Bartho steak or whatever the fuck they're making.
No way.
I never thought of that. Really, honestly, I never did.
I got to see Chewbacca's shitty house he has that he's kind of behind on the mortgage on.
it's not a great pad.
No.
It's not. It's you know what? It's kind of a little bigger than like an Ewok's apartment.
He's just got like this desk in the corner just covered with paper. He's trying to find out if he's got the budget for a jacuzzi.
Because with Chewbacca, dude, he's one of those guys where it's like the little things in life, right? So like, you know, you go out in space, you're traveling around the galaxy, getting into all these adventures to try to make some money. But when you're home, all you care about is like, you know, maybe you'll get to take the space RV down to the shore, do some casino gambling, maybe. Chewbacca's a guy that's got a lot of Marlboro miles, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to save up for the boat, like the Marlboro boat. So, yeah, he wants a hot tub in that shitty treehouse.
He wants to kick back and watch the Wookiee Bears against the, like, Kirschkind Giants or whatever the fuck. He just wants to be left alone, do his thing, because he's been out with goddamn Han Solo hopping around the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of which, if they would just televise Wookiee football here, I'd be a huge fan.
Oh, man.
I know nothing
about sports. I would know everything about that sport.
Note to Vince McMahon, who I know is listening. Sure, the XFL failed, but you ever think about the WFL, the Wookiee Football League?
I don't even need to be real Wookiees, frankly. I could just have people in Chewbacca
just
suits.
Big old motherfuckers in Wookiee costumes.
That's really all I need.
Now that Disney owns Star Wars, come on.
Right, man.
How about the SWF or whatever?
Dude, it's like the Wookiee League, like, goes up against, like, the Stormtrooper League.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sick.
Oh, yeah. And then there'd be a team of Boba Fetts, a team of Darth Vaders, you know?
Hey, so one thing I did not expect going into this was to see a comedy legend slum it harder than I've ever seen a comedy legend slum it before.
I saw that. I was like, I wish he died before this.
Here comes Art Carney. Yeah. Art Carney, ladies and gentlemen, as some sort of like a trading post operator who's
like a
also
shop owner.
He's friends with the Bacas.
He's like a human who's like, I'm going to live in the frontier in the native wild. Like, I'm going to open a trading post next to all these savages.
It's kind of like Wilford Brimley in that Battle for Endor. Just living out there, fucking that rabbit, you know,
away from the laws of man.
Yeah, get your hands off my space bucks. Like, that's Art Carney's kind of like the same thing.
But,
like, yeah, I'm going to live out here now. That's fine.
But at least Art Carney seems to be productive.
Yeah, he's got a store. He kind of is like
contributing to the society.
He's also very low on the totem pole, but he is involved in the resistance. Or so he says to Princess Leia when they Skype for a little bit later in this. This fucking thing, by the way, 90 minutes with commercials. How dare you? How fucking dare you, 90 minutes of my life sucked away with this?
It could have been 5 hours, honestly, because you're stuck in it and you think it's never going to end.
I purposely did not look at the time code on my computer because I was like, you know what? It's going to be one of those things where, like, you sit in a room with the lights turned off in the complete darkness. And then after like 10 minutes, they say you have no idea how much time has passed. That's what this is like. Watching the Star Wars Holiday Special, after 10 minutes, you have no idea how much time has passed. You don't know when it's going to be over because there's no real story. No. So it could end at any point.
We should put it on a loop for like terrorists and prisoners.
Dude,
for
Guantanamo. Hey, George Lucas, here's what you do with it. You sell it to the United States government. We play it on a loop in a fucking torture chamber in Guantanamo Bay.
They're going to use my film as a weapon.
Well, do you think that was the one thing Disney was like, okay, not having?
Like, yeah, he was like, I'll throw in the rights to the holiday special for free. You know,
we'll pay another billion just not to have it.
We're not putting our name on it.
Apparently, this never made it out of VHS. Sure.
Would you never made it onto VHS?
Like, people just recorded the broadcast. It's interesting that it never was released like in any medium.
Yeah, but he totally disowned it right after it aired. It only aired once on TV. So that was it. Like, what the version I watched was taped in 1978 off the TV by some dude or lady in Baltimore.
Mine had a lot of tracking.
Mine was
really?
A lot of like dials going up and down in the recording. It was something.
Mine was from Iowa.
Really?
Look at that. Yeah. See? The Baltimore one's great. There's a lot of amazing pro-union commercials on it. There's a GM thing where they're like, and it's amazing because you think about this shit now, like you'd be accused of being a fucking communist for airing this, but it's like there's like a pro-union like GM commercial where it's like, General Motors, we stand by our product.
But even more importantly, we stand by our workers. And you're like, wow, holy shit.
Fast forward. Oh, no, they're slitting their throats now. I don't care about their workers at all.
There's a great one, though, from, let's see. Oh, man, what is it called? It's like the United Women's Undergarment Workers Association. It's amazing. It's a union for like bra makers. And the commercial is like this musical thing where they sing a song about how strong their women's undergarment workers union is.
Oh my God. And nowadays, they're how far away where the bras are made from America, it might as well be on Kushka.
Yeah.
It's so outsourced, it's on a Star Wars planet.
Look for the union labels when you are buying Lacoste dress or gloves. Remember, somewhere our union sewing, our wages going to feed the kids and run the house. We work hard, but who's complaining? Thanks to the IME, we're paying our way.
It's totally
fictional
true.
Star Wars.
That's where it is.
It is left reality.
Also, there's a great like local news thing where they're like talking about someone made a deal with the Soviet Union to activate a neutron bomb, and it's like news at 11, neutron bomb, and the lady, it's like new enough in the neutron bomb's existence, I guess, where she was like, and by the way, that's the bomb that will kill people but leave buildings standing. At 11. I was like, what? Now back to the Star Wars holiday special.
But first, a much more sinister atrocity.
I'd rather be turned to fucking dust than have to watch this again.
Neutron bomb me. But, you know, I think a neutron bomb is pretty cool, right? Like, wouldn't it be great just to neutron bomb a city? And then everyone, all your people can just move in. It's really bizarre.
I think that's what Lucas's plan is that he's going to get all of the copies like into just a city that nobody, you know, he can easily evacuate. Maybe it will be just like Minnesota or something like that. And just throw the neutron, just make sure it's gone.
But that's what's amazing, though, right? Is in today's technology, he's never going to be able to do this.
No.
Once something's digitized and it's out there, dude, like, he's fucked. Like, it's going to live on forever. You can take it off of YouTube as many times as you want. People will find a way to get it out there. We had three different copies of it that we watched for this.
It's in the cloud. You can't steal a cloud, George. Can't happen. It's done. It's over with.
Well, with this weather machine that I'm downloading, I'm developing. You'll see Chris Cabin.
I'll buy the clouds, Steven. Talking to my friend Steven Spielberg.
He just buys most of the stock in clouds.
Here's a great thing that this holiday special does, though. Inside Chewbacca's house, you get to see, like, you know, like Chewbacca's like kitchen, his living room, and whatnot. This movie, or this holiday special, clearly not movie caliber, predicts a use of flat screen televisions in a domestic setting.
Yep.
Chewbacca's family has a flat screen TV. It's amazing.
That's great.
It's so great. It predicts that. It does predict Skyping. That's how they communicate with Princess Leia.
It also predicts sex machines.
Let's talk about this for a quick second. So Art Carney comes in and he's got like a bunch of Life Day presents for everybody. And then he goes up to Itchy, Chewbacca's father, Itchy, if we haven't mentioned
Itchy Baca.
Yeah, Itchy Baca. And he's like, oh, hey, Itchy, I got a real sweet present for you, pal. Here, I help you put it together. And it's like he's setting up this chair, and I'm like, what's going on here? And he's like, all right, wife's out of the room. It's probably a good time to set this up. Have a lot of fun with it. And he puts this visor down over this fucking Wookiee's face, and I'm like, wait, what's going on? And then this woman, well, no, first, it's like all these trippy images, right? And I'm like, oh, the 70s, this is fantastic. I'm watching it, and I'm like kind of getting sucked in. And then out of nowhere,
this lady shows up, and I guess she's some big singer, Diane Carroll. I'm not too familiar with her work, but she's clearly been around. Yes. I guess she does some white collar. She's on that program. Yeah. But yeah, she's been in some stuff. Anyway, she appears and she's like, "Well, how you doing, Itchy?" And I'm like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah.
And she starts talking about like his desires.
She's for him and like
I was built for you.
It's all about it's a fuck machine, man.
It's a jackpot.
It's a VR fuck machine, straight up virtual reality, right? In the future. Everyone's going to have
it's like a Daft Punk-esque fuck helmet.
It's kind of like it's sort of like the thing in Demolition Man, but yeah. They're not like doing it with anybody.
It's the three seashells. No, I mean
no, he's not wiping his Wookiee ass. He's jerking off.
No, that's a trough. Give me a break. The Wookiees, plumbing, really?
No,
you really think this is happening?
No, dude, you just shit out a hole in that treehouse and it falls 3,000 feet to the ground.
Go on the balcony, take a leak.
That's perfect. All. You know Chewbacca's pissing off that deck.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think his family tells him not to? He like hits him.
Oh, yeah. No, Mala or whatever is like, you know, stop pissing off the balcony.
He gets so fed up with it. He's like, he's going to go out for a pack of beer, right? Or a pack of cigarettes, case of beer, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he just never comes back.
Do you think that's initially how he got on board with rolling with Solo?
Yeah.
It was he was just like at the fucking cantina one night and he was like bitching about his family life.
I think it's definitely a Harry Dean Stanton in Paris, Texas thing going on here.
You think so?
I think that's what we're talking about here.
He's just this lone wanderer.
He just went away. Then like, I don't know, like it's so his father, his father like married instead of, you know, Harry Dean Stanton. It's the guy from Quantum Leap who I'm being an idiot for not remembering the name of.
Dean Stockwell.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's the Star Wars holiday special. It's a bullshit fake thing. Total cash grab. You expect the Wookiees to be the main characters. You expect people like Chewbacca and C-3PO and R2-D2 to all appear in this thing, which they do. You do not expect Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, and Carrie Fisher to be in this thing. But lo and behold, all three appear in character in this. Woof.
I mean, Harrison Ford has been known lately for doing the cartoony rage.
Right.
Yeah. If you want to see the real rage, if you want to see him taking out a baseball bat and go into your family's house, you bring up this special to him.
I do want to see that. But
bring up this special to him.
This is when his soul died. Like, there's a moment in this. If you freeze frame it correctly, I bet you could see like a twinkle forever leave his eye.
Yeah, like you think it's just like the crappy video quality and it's a glitch, but it's actually his soul going out his eyeball.
This is when he just lost it, right? This is when he wanted, like, after doing this and seeing how crazy and sellouty and insane Star Wars got, like, that's when he wanted Han Solo to die. Like, he didn't want, because didn't he not like want to go through the whole, I think, like, there's, maybe I'm mistaken, but I think like by Return of the Jedi, he didn't even want to come back.
Well, Jedi, I remember there was some nonsense that he kind of rightfully so argued that the script was like too family friendly. Yeah, and he didn't want to be having any of that.
He could have just stayed in that carbonite. Could have happened.
Yep. You know what?
That would have been a kind of cool.
That
cool
would have
ending.
Been fine. As far as like alternate Star Wars realities go, that one I would have gone for.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was frozen in what? Oh, carbonite? Oh, yeah. Sorry, dude. You can't
get people out of carbonite? I believe that.
Well, I can get him out, but we'd have to chip away at it, and he would just be in pieces and dead anyway. So, you know what? Put it in the living room. Put it in Chewbacca's living room. It's totally fine. Next to the sex machine.
Like instead of having an urn on display, you got a gigantic sheet of carbonite.
Exactly. I mean, these appearances that they have are really terrible. Yeah. I mean, the set of this Millennium Falcon, it's wretched. It's the cockpit only. It's really terrible TV.
It's the cockpit from Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Yeah.
They're on like two wooden chairs and there's like a curtain behind them.
And you can see Harrison Ford is really doing a lot of like, oh, the ship's moving. Like he's moving.
Like, he's shaking
it's like
himself.
One of like the Rushmore plays of the movies.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's so fucking cheap. And like that first movie had been out. This is before, well, clearly it's before Empire. Like it takes place between New Hope and Empire.
Right, yeah.
Because he's not frozen carbonite, obviously.
Yeah. No.
But like that movie was a success. You know you're going on to make the next one. Like put any amount of money in this. Like I know you're modeling the TV special after like other 70s variety shows. But this is Star Wars, man. You know what? Have some pride in what you're doing.
Well, because it's as far as a holiday special, I mean, like, I understand you're trying to, you're literally creating a holiday here.
Yeah.
But there's nothing very, other than, like, sitting around and, like, making food and watching television, there's nothing very holiday-ish about this.
It's closer to a Wookiee Thanksgiving than it is a Wookiee Christmas.
I believe it's almost the same exact trajectory as Garfield's Thanksgiving.
Except a little old lady doesn't talk to Garfield about her dead husband.
No,
I want to fucking
true.
Kill myself.
Yeah, well, that is true.
But oh, that's sad.
Speaking of, it's a Christmas special that takes the Christ out of Christmas.
Yes.
And it's just, has nothing to do with the real, you know, it creates a whole new thing. If this came out today and Star Wars is such a big thing still, like, people would be furious, right? Like,
oh, they'd go through the fucking
hole. Would Wilford Brimley make of this, right?
Well, here's the thing, okay? I was in a movie called Battle for Ender or somewhat business. That movie had nothing to do with Christmas, and I was fine with being in it. But my God. I discovered something my grandson showed me off of something called a BiteTorrent. And it was a video of a Star Wars Christmas-less Christmas special.
You're trying to tell me with all the goofy shit that George Lucas made up, can't think up a Santa Claus planet. You can't think it up.
Now, goddammit, what is so wrong with a planet full of Santas?
Or for that matter, you got that Tatooine desert planet there so much, why not have a couple Romans there and maybe tell a nice story about Jesus Christ come back from the dead?
Why can't Han Solo go mano a mano with the King of the Jews? That's what I want to know, goddammit.
Leia, she could talk to Mary Magdalene for a while. Try to get her on the right track.
Han Solo and Chewbacca could be smuggling some frankincense and myrrh through Imperial Judea.
Look, you already got two of them, goddammit. You put a bleep blooping robot in there. It's the three wise men. It's not hard. Why am I, Wilford Brimley, writing your George Lucas Christless Christmas movie?
Now, my favorite movie moment of the last decade when they kill Hitler in Inglourious Bastards. Now, that was a beautiful moment. And I respect history and everything, but think about this. You got Boba Fett assassinating Brutus.
Could you imagine, like, if Star Wars, like, did this and it was like Judea was an imperially controlled area and, like, Darth Vader washes his hands of the decision of killing Christ and leaves it up to the people? Like, it'd be pretty powerful.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
At the end of the day, Vader would have to respect Jesus Christ because he's a Jedi Master.
Jesus is the original Jedi Master.
Yeah.
Is, I think, what you have here.
Patient Zero.
This is a goddamn X-Mask special. That's what that is. I'll be at Walmart doing my last-minute Christmas shopping. Everyone in my family gets one gift, goddammit.
Yeah, it's definitely a Christmas. It's a hard T.
There are some things that go along with this to make it a TV special. Like a variety show TV special. So you have your loose story. Chewbacca's trying to get home for Life Day, right?
Right.
Yeah. You've got this family fucking around waiting for him. Art Carney's like giving updates, right? There is a thing where the little kid
Lumpy,
right? He turns on
some cartoon.
It's All right, let's talk about the cartoon.
We got to talk about the cartoon because what's great about the cartoon? It's a story about Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, all of them. They get to this one planet called like Panna or something. It's like a moist planet and
there's like a Loch Ness monster on it.
Yeah, yeah. And Boba Fett's riding the Loch Ness monster. This is his first appearance ever.
Someone say moist, goddammit. Oh, never mind.
Don't touch those brownies. Get out of the kitchen, you rascal. You old walrus.
So it's this cartoon, yeah.
But what's great about it is Art Carney set this up for Lumpy to watch, and then you're realizing, wait a second. In the Star Wars universe, this cartoon about the Star Wars characters exists. So I guess the Rebellion is so famous.
It's so famous
that they're making cartoons about it.
Yep.
And Boba Fett's like, hey, yeah, you know, sure, like put me in the cartoon. Like,
yeah, what? Yeah, I'll appear in your thing. Oh, you managed to contact me at the corner of the galaxy that I'm on my whatever hit squad mission. Yeah, you can use my likeness in your cartoon.
Yeah, you could say I basically work for the Empire. Sure.
I mean, not many people know this, but Hanna-Barbera did make a series about Castro.
could you imagine if Boba Fett like had a lawsuit against this cartoon? Defamation of character.
The thing that's hilarious, though, is this cartoon is the far and away the best part of this special. Yeah.
Yes.
It made me kind of want to watch like a Star Wars cartoon.
Yeah, I could have been behind that.
Like the way they had that Star Trek cartoon and it was all like the original
that was
cast.
Really crazy. Oh, that's probably prime for animation, damnation.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, good. Let's take a note. Well, but that's what this is. It's all the original actors doing their voices. So I was like, man, that would be a rad thing to have a Star Wars cartoon like that exist.
But the style of it reminded me more of like the Beetlejuice cartoon.
It is kind of like, that.
And like mixed with a heavy metal kind of thing.
It's really weird. There's some mixed tones with this animation, but that's why it's badass. Because, yeah, it does have like the playful, light kind of like, you know, like their eyes are bigger like they kind of were in the Beetlejuice cartoon. Like that's a good animation example. But the material is kind of like pretty serious. Like, it turns out that Boba Fett's working in tandem with Darth Vader to screw them over.
Yeah.
He does totally, like, they realize he's, you know.
Out and out grifts Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great. It's good because he's just like, you know, they get arrive on the planet and Boba Fett's just like, I take it you have no love of the Empire, friend. And Luke Skywalker's like, no, I don't. He's like, well, neither do I. And it's like he immediately trusts him. And like, it's this whole, Boba Fett gets a great con over them. It's amazing.
It is pretty sweet.
And he gets in and out. He's just like, well, fuck you guys.
What I love is when, what's his name? Spunky?
Lumpy.
Oh, Lumpy. Sorry.
Spunky's when he gets to be a teenager.
Now, Spunky's what Itchy's is called after he gets out of that helmet place.
When Lumpy's watching this thing, it's like on some sort of Xbox setup thing.
That's Krusty.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, I need to interrupt to throw that in. Go on.
So when he goes to watch this thing, it's amazing because what's happening in the Baca household at this point is a bunch of stormtroopers and like Imperial guards have come to their house for some reason. They're like going door to door.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the Empire is like everywhere now, like,
and it's really a weird like Nazis searching for hidden Jews.
Well, that's all the Empire ever really was.
No, I know, but you don't get any kind of real domestic situation like this in any of the movies. It's like this Imperial guard telling the stormtrooper, like, you know, don't leave any door unopened. Like, I want you searching every inch of this house. It says here,
Deine Papieren, bitte. The Frank girl.
There's
Volis the Frank girl.
He just got a bunch of Ewoks under the floorboards.
Yep. And they take him out, and then there's a pile of dead Ewoks on the lawn.
Speaking of Inglourious Bastards, they're just looking up.
Yeah. Well, because the guy is like, it says on your registration form, there's 4 Ewoks registered in this house.
The census strikes again.
Oh, my God, the census. They just want to know where you all are.
And it's just three Ewoks and Art Carney in this house. And the guy's like, hey, you look like Honeymooners legend Art Carney. You're not a Wookiee. And he's like,
that's right. I'm just a friend of the Baca family. I'm just here for giving away some Life Day presents. And they're like, where is this fourth Wookiee?
And they're like, we're going to sit here until this fourth filthy Wookiee gets home.
But the Empire is very right, because that fourth Wookiee is like running gun running missions against the Empire. I mean, they're really kind of justified in their searching of this household.
This is what doesn't make any sense, though. So the end of A New Hope, right? They all get their medals from Leia. It's the dumbest scene in that movie. They all are. There's a big ceremony. They all get medals. Everybody's a hero. Uh-huh. Fantastic. But it's very clear that the Rebel Alliance, this resistance, this uprising, is still in its early stages. Like, there's so much work to be done. Mm-hmm. You know, Han Solo, we still need your help. Come on. You got to continue to help out. Like, all this shit. But the beginning of this special is basically Han Solo dropping Chewbacca off for fucking Thanksgiving break. Like, that's what's happening. He's like, oh, I'm really happy to give you this ride for your Life Day celebration, buddy. It's like, you know what? There's an uprising here. And Chewbacca, whether he likes it or not, is really tied into it. So you know what? Yeah. He's not coming home for Christmas this year. That's just what it is. He's, you know, you got to think the bigger picture here. Like, you know what? We have all these Imperial guards coming down and screwing with our everyday way of life on Kashyyyk. So, like, hey, there might not be a Life Day next year, all right?
Frankly, I'd rather watch the Dutch-esque adventure that is Chewbacca.
Yes.
And fucking Han Solo trying to get home for fucking Life Day.
Dude, I would love if there's a scene in this where fucking Harrison Ford's driving the Millennium Falcon and Chewbacca puts on the mess around and he starts dancing and Harrison Ford's getting pissed off. And then he looks over and Chewbacca's just turned into the devil and he's laughing at him. Because this could also be Planes, yeah. Trains, and Automobiles.
And they stop at a space truck stop. And
Han Solo shows him a nudie deck.
Yeah. They pick up some nice young girls. Because, oh yeah, Ord Mandel. Well, we're going that way anyway. It's on the way to Kishka. And then it's just like Harrison Ford. Han Solo's just like, my wallet's gone. my wallet. Chewbacca, do you have your wallet? Goes through his fur.
Should have spent all that money on fireworks.
They got conned by a bunch of call girls.
Hussies.
Tramps.
Tramps and hussies.
Trollops.
And trollops.
Or another variation on where this movie could have gone. They stop at a truck stop, and Harrison Ford and Chewbacca have been kind of butting heads for a while, and Harrison Ford is sick and tired of being around Chewbacca, and he goes into the bathroom while Chewbacca goes into the convenience store, and he looks in the mirror, and he tries to weigh his options, and then Han Solo comes out of the bathroom, and he sees a lumber truck's pulled up, a lumber space truck, and he talks to the guy for a minute. You don't see what he says to him, and then they both get in the lumber truck and drive away, and as they drive away, Chewbacca comes out of the convenience store like Karen Black at the end of Five Easy Pieces. Yeah. And he fucking left him in the parking lot. I would love it.
I could picture it too. That'd be great.
A lumber spaceship, we mean.
Yes, it's a lumber spaceship, excuse me. I would love it. I would absolutely love it.
I want that movie rather. Instead, I have another musical interlude with some guy with a super long. Am I the only one who had this?
What is it?
This guy, he sings song.
I had it. Don't
yeah,
worry.
There's this guy who sings this super long song in the middle of this. I think it's right before or right after.
I mean, it is advertised there as a. I think it's supposed to be a performance by Jefferson Starship or something.
Oh, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's another thing where. This is the point I was getting at with the cartoon also, but it happens with the Jefferson Starship music video that's in this.
Yeah, big old shrug there.
Yeah. Every time these things have to come up, all of the fucking Gestapo that are in the house are like, hey, what are you watching? And they all gather around the idiot box and either watch the Star Wars cartoon, they watch the entirety of the Jefferson Starship thing. And what's amazing is when they're over with, it just cuts back to Chewbacca's living room and no one acknowledges what they just watched. Like, no one has any opinion about, like, oh, that was fun or yeah, anything. It's just like, let's pick back up where we left off.
It's so insane. It's like... Wait, it's like an Imperial officer just watched part of a cartoon where Luke Skywalker was a hero and stuff. And he's just like, oh, okay.
This Imperial officer just watched, like, rebellion propaganda.
Yeah.
And was fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, that kid should have his fucking neck broken for watching that shit.
It is Life Day, sir.
we'll come back and kill him tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Here's your potato. We're coming back.
the traditional potato.
The traditional life day potato. Speaking of cooking, there's a 5-minute scene where you watch a fucking space cooking show.
It's terrible.
Harvey Korman in some get-up. I don't know what
he's
the
supposed,
fuck.
He's supposed to be like a four-armed alien Julia Child.
Right. And it's like a fucking Futurama joke.
What was that? Salazar or whatever, it's like Emerald parody.
Oh yeah,
I forget what it was.
Yeah, I forget.
But this is like a Julia Child thing, and yeah, Harvey Korman, who plays like three different characters in this special. It's, I mean, ladies and gentlemen,
and I mean, Harvey Korman is fucking funny.
He was great, man. Carol Burnett show, fucking hilarious, dude.
And you know what? He's not in this fucking show.
Oh,
funny at all?
Yeah, there's not a laugh to be found
at one point,
and it's like. Chewbacca's wife is trying to get, like, the recipe to make, like, a bantha steak or something.
And mm-hmm. It goes on forever.
It's over 5 minutes of you watching a character watch TV. Watch a fake space cooking
show.
This
is what you wanted. This is what you thought the American public...
It sounds like you're rubbing George's nose.
This is the one I don't understand.
Take a bite of the scruff of his neck and rub his nose in it.
I really just, I would put, like, boot in the back of the head, smell it.
Whoa.
Oh, Jesus. And, like, because on what planet are you thinking that somebody is going, anybody is entertained by space Julia Child, but without any jokes?
Not one fucking joke.
But you know
who,
what we are entertained by? Space B. Arthur.
Oh, God.
Let's end the conversation on this sequence. So it wouldn't be a festive holiday special without going to a little cantina on a little desert planet called Mos Eisley.
Which, by the way, is also presented as a broadcast on the television in this house.
Yep.
It's like it's a Tatooine transmission that's like showing the world how terrible it is on Tatooine without the Empire or something. It's some weird thing. Like, it's a propaganda thing. It's like
it's a pro Empire propaganda.
Yeah, exactly. Thing. It's like the Wire or something. It's like, look how, oh my God, look at this. Look at this wretched hive of scum and villainy. B. Arthur's there.
So here's B. Arthur, right? And like, she's fucking great. I mean, she was great. Yeah. B. Arthur was fantastic. But again, I mean, someone who's made me laugh countless fucking times. Like, growing up, man, I watched a lot of Golden Girls. Dude, I totally did. I even watched a little bit of Golden Palace, which I don't... Was she on Golden Palace?
What the hell is Golden Palace?
It was a spinoff where some of them opened a hotel.
Are you fucking kidding me?
It sucked.
I remember there being a Golden Palace, but I don't remember who was
there. I have to see if B. Arthur was on Golden Palace. But so, she basically is... the sole proprietor of the Mos Eisley Cantina, and the fucking Penis Head Band is back. They're playing their one song. Right.
Because the unspoken thing, I guess, is after the events of the first Star Wars film, and there's a dude with his arm cut off in this bar. Greedo gets shot to pieces. This poor bartender, he just had enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm selling the place to B. Arthur and I'm moving.
I'm getting out of here.
Oh, yeah, by the way, I corrected my suspicions about the Golden Palace, 1992 to 1993. Only one season's worth of episodes, but it's just Rue McClanahan, Betty White, and Estelle Getty, because at the end of Golden Girls, if I remember right.
Ma, what are you doing? Yeah. Going off to open a hotel?
Yeah.
Come on, Ma.
Because B. Arthur. Yeah, that's pretty good B. Arthur. B. Arthur's character gets married to Sam at the end of the show. I believe his name is Sam. So she couldn't open this fucking dumb hotel.
I remember somebody got married, but I didn't know who it was.
So, okay. She's working at the cantina, right? And it's like, she's like the sassy bar matron and whatnot. And, you know, the penis head band's playing their tune, and it's not great. Okay. It's not
great. It's distinctly not great.
Perhaps an off night for the cantina band. Not really killing it.
Don Cherry didn't come in tonight.
Yeah. It's really bad.
I am Don Cherry in the dick penis head piece bands.
He says sometimes, every once in a while, he just comes in.
So the way they kind of make this, you feel the squeeze of the empire here is so they decree, there's like an announcement that comes on the TV, and here's this Imperial commander who we see a little bit throughout the rest of the show. And he basically says, like, listen, there's too much mussing and fussing going on down on your shitty planet, so we're instituting a curfew effective immediately. Every Tatooine resident has every Mos Eisley resident has to go to their house. Like, you're done. You can't be outside. So the gag is Bea Arthur's trying to get these drunk aliens to go home, and they're just not listening to her. So she has to sing a song about going home.
after begging them all too, like, come on, remember, I've done so much for you.
Oh yeah, no, she has a sordid history with all of these different aliens. Like, oh, remember that jam I got you out of? You owe me this favor. It's like, what is she doing for these aliens?
And she's also like, oh my god, just seeing her like pouring a drink for like a hammerhead toad alien. Oh god.
And she's, what's great is like, Bea Arthur, always the consummate professional. It's like going up to like these werewolf looking things and like fucking petting them and hugging them, like, you know, oh, I'm gonna miss you too, you know, and all this shit. And she's singing this song that I want to believe, yes, it's called Good Night But Not Goodbye is the name of this tune. And she's just singing to these things, and then it's to the music of like, it's that, but like slowed down, jazzified,
penned by Cole Porter.
Yeah, yeah, it's Cole Porter's fucking cantina jingle. And what's amazing is this, by the way, this sequence lasts way longer than the cantina sequence lasts in the first movie. But what you realize is this little penis head clarinet band only knows this song. It's the only song. This song,
the, like, set list is just one song.
Yeah, get ready to hear the fucking over and over and over again, because this scene does not end, and these guys only have the one tune, and then they got to slow it down so B. Arthur can sing.
Do you think she's paying them for this, or is this like an open mic?
I don't know. They're not getting tips, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's probably just a standing gig every Saturday, you know.
Yeah.
Tony Scott and the Penis Head Trio are in here.
Oh, Tony Scott, he went on to direct some stuff.
Oh, yeah, I guess that was a bad fake name to make up. That was a real name of someone who committed suicide.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you know what I mean. There's a band leader, he would have a name, and then they're the Penis Head. God,
you really brought me down, man.
Now I just have this on my mind.
Here, you know what?
It's suicide.
Here, I'll bring you back up. Here's a little bit of B. Arthur's song.
Just one more round, friend. Then homeward bound, friend. Don't forget me in your dreams. Just one more song, friend. And then so long, friend. The nights get shorter, it seems. Just one more rhyme, friend. Yes, it's a crime, friend. But you know time, friend. Time can fly. So it's good night, friend. Good night, but not goodbye.
Doesn't that make you feel better?
Yeah, I want to go home.
It's just, it's so terrible. She convinces everyone to leave the bar.
She buys them all another round.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there's a wave of applause. There's one round on her. And also, by the way, it's not like this bar is being condemned. They just have to go home until the curfew's lifted.
But it's like, it's also like, wait, so they're showing this transmission to show how terrible life is on Tatooine, that the Empire is shutting down this Sleepglop alien bar? Like,
yeah, they kind of get a little bit of a mixed message thing going on here.
Yeah, exactly, because that's what this whole thing is. It's like, let's say something, play something, and then it'll be completely different.
Or, unless what they're saying here is like, see, you can have a nice time out at your local cantina, but if you get too shitty and disobey us too much...
B. Arthur's going to sing a song.
Yeah, sanctions, curfews, you're getting it all. You know, you're going to start...
Or it might also be like, oh boy, I mean, aren't you glad you're here where you have to only deal with one weird-looking alien race? Look at this planet. God damn. God damn, they're all here.
That's a real melting pot of shitty aliens also and werewolves.
Like, yeah, devil heads?
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Fucking like, but again, like cops, the bar... on a holiday special? Like, what is this, Grumpy Old Men? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And, like, you would want... And, by the way, after this, they wrap up the fucking Wookiee thing, and it's nothing.
It's totally nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they come home, like, they get there, like, Solo gets Chewbacca there, and they fucking kill all the... Like, one stormtrooper gets, like, tossed off the fucking... 1,000-foot tree.
Yeah, he's and then dead. they're like, oh, whose tree did that? Whose tree was he dead outside of? Oh, the Chewbacca family. Oh well, yeah, send some reinforcements.
Yeah, like, yeah, they'd burn it down.
There should have been a scene of Han Solo and Chewbacca like throwing that corpse in a swamp.
Oh, you know,
get his head down, Chewie.
You know what? This is great. This is great. Got the. Life Day sacrifice right here, ready to go.
Yeah, we got our Life Day roast.
Well, what do you think our religion is,
hon? What's amazing, I mean, the Harrison Ford acting, especially in this scene, is he's doing his best holiday special tone of voice, because it's a lot of like, you and your family are like family to me, pal. I'll always love the Baca clan, you know, and all this shit.
He's
like,
he hates himself so much.
I bet
he was in a contract. Right?
I was going to say he went into his trailer, but there weren't any trailers on this. He went into whatever dressing room at the studio and punched himself in the balls repeatedly until it was time for him to do a take again.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it feels like he's just kind of like trying to do what Andy Kaufman did when he met Howdy Doody. Like, whenever he's talking to one of the fucking Wookiees, he's just like, boy, I'm so happy to have met you. Yeah. This has been such a great time. Can I go now?
It's so useless. And then, like, they all... this is so stupid. So, like, they all... All the Wookiees on Kashyyyk walk into this big red ball... spaceship thing. No idea what this thing
is. It's like, it's Heaven's Gate promotional video. It's
the red matter.
Yeah, they walk in the red matter, and then it's just this huge room where they're all standing around, and they all brought their Life Day presents with them, and they're all done all over the place. And then Han Solo, who's left the movie, comes back. Leia's there. Skywalker's there. They all roll in. The fucking robots are there, the two droids. And the droids are about to, like, preside over the Life Day ceremony when the humans all walk in. And they're like, oh, hey, Chewbacca, we were all worried about you. But I guess you got back safe and you can have your glorious Life Day. And then Carrie Fisher treats us to a tune of A Day to Celebrate. No. She just sings a song while they all stand there staring fucking blankly at nothing.
Great holiday.
Yeah.
And then it just, like, there's so much, like, we could do so much on this.
There's layers. It's like an onion.
It's the stinkiest, most disgusting onion. And when you get to the end of this disgusting onion center, Carrie Fisher just sings a song. No amount of drugs in the world. Like,
I can't even imagine what joy you could ever extract from this.
I'm sitting right here saying, like, it's a definite recommend. Like, you have to find this on the internet. Because I
but you got to find More drugs than in the world.
Yeah, I mean, get
Find
all the drugs.
The drugs.
Get all yeah. the drugs.
Yeah.
Do them all at the same time. Easy right. on the barbiturates.
Like yeah. spice, that's a big drug. In Dune and Star Wars, right? Because Han Solo got busted for dumping a load of spice at the first sight of an Imperial cruiser. What a loser. What a fucking amateur hour smuggler.
All right, here's the deal. If it's from the ground, take it down. That's what I'm saying, all right? Do that, and then find the Star Wars holiday special.
Let's preface that, you know, let's say only we mean that only for residents of Washington and Colorado and the Netherlands and Uruguay
and apparently the city limits of Portland, Maine.
Oh, and I forgot North Korea.
That's right.
It's legal. I'm just saying it's legal.
Anyway, I mean, either that or chug a bunch of whiskey. Like this, it's you can't watch it sober because it's not going to hold your attention. You have to be spaced out in some way.
Yes. I mean, if you pay, oh, God help you if you try to pay attention to it.
Because here's the thing, right? And this is what I texted you about it, Eric, when I watched it last night. But it's like, oh, the first like feeling you have is because I'd never seen it before. And I was like, oh, wow. It's a new Star Wars story with Han Solo and Chewie, and they're in the Millennium Falcon. I mean, that lasts 6 seconds, and then you realize like the quality of it is so terrible that it's not going to be worth it anyway. And then all the recycled footage from the first movie is just there, and you're like, oh, it's really that bad. But I mean, this is a seeing is believing.
I mean, it's a rock and a hard place situation because, yeah, you should see it. Because if only because George Lucas doesn't want anybody else to see it.
Yeah, yeah, you have to see it out of spite.
That's the first thing. But here's the backlash on that.
Uh-huh.
Think in the future when,
releases this in 3D.
When George Lucas has, like, fucking robots in his blood and he can live till he's 300.
Definitely
happens. And this kind of stuff happens and we're in the Minority Report future.
Yeah.
And you can, like, look at what people have seen in their heads just to make sure that he gets rid of every trace of it. He'll start assassinating people who have seen it and are talking about it. So I'm telling you.
He's gonna delete this episode one day. So back it up on your hard drive.
Yeah. Make some copies of this. Hide it in some subfolders.
He'll come for you.
Yep.
Oh, don't think he won't come for
you. He's coming for me.
He's got nothing better to do.
I'll gobble the world if I have to, Stephen.
Buy him out, boys. And he just breaks my computer. That's the Star Wars Holiday Special on this special edition of WHM On Screen. For more information about our several shows, check out our website, whmpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.